I'm thankful to God for being able to be with you. I wonder you understand the way I speak English. Now, I would want to find out whether you can really understand me. And so I have a little way in which I would know whether you understood me well. At the same time, I have a question that I'm going to pose to you. And if you can, all together, in unison, give me one answer. And if you can give me the right answer, then I'll tell you that something is going to happen to you. In some places I say they are going to receive $1 million. You like that kind of question? Okay, so now in order to answer this question, or any question for that instant, what do you need to do? You need to listen carefully, isn't it? The more carefully you listen to the question, the more correctly you can answer. Right, let's see whether you really can answer this question. My question is, are you ready? You're not getting ready yet, huh? My question is, are you ready?
Yes.
Good. My question is, are you all right? No answers? Are you all right?
Yes.
No and yes and no. I don't want two answers. I just want one. Are you all right?
Yes.
Oh, good. You understand me well now. But let me tell you, you all have failed. I gave you the reason why you have failed. I am not all right. I am half left and half right. You see that? $1 million just gone by. So now I understand you can follow the language that I speak. That makes me very happy. Thank you for inviting me here. Brother Gordon Kwan and myself bring greetings to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want you to know, those folks are in this assembly, that back home in Singapore, the assemblies, the brethren in Christ Jesus are praying for you. Because I've told them of my coming to your place. All right. Now, I was told to give my testimony. You like to hear that? I think you have great expectation. Anyway, if you're really interested in wanting to know what God has done in my life, maybe you need to come this evening. I don't want to disappoint you. I'm going to give you testimony. Not mine, but the testimony of God, who has done great and marvelous thing in lives of man, who obeyed his word and followed his way. The first one is in the Bible. Then, after reading the word of God, I'll tell you about another two. You like that? Okay. We'll go to Acts chapter 22, which I was told you are reading. The testimony of a prisoner defending before the mob. The testimony of the prisoner. You like that? Now I'll explain to you about this prisoner later. Acts chapter 22. The testimony of the prisoner defending before the mob. Acts chapter 22, I'm reading from the King James Version. Man, brethren, and father, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spoke in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept more quiet, and he said, I am a very man who is a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prison both man and woman. Straight away you would identify that we are now talking about a criminal. Now let me tell you, he is a good criminal. In the sense that he has sought to live his life well. The cause of that, he was zealous for his God, so called in his religion. And he went about in criminal activities. He wasn't put into prison for that cause. Exciting, isn't it? This man is a prisoner, yet he wasn't in prison for that cause which he was handling. Verse 5, and so the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the council of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them who were there bound unto Jerusalem to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come near unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light around about me. And I fell on the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spoke to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said to me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of the things which I appointed for thee to do. We'll stop there. Most probably I don't think I can reach up to there. But what I want us to know is this testimony of a prisoner. Now, this man Saul received the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior and Lord, and his name was changed to Paul. As Paul, he was a prisoner. And the prison that was different from the prison that we know. He was not kept in an institution. He was not kept in a jail. He was kept as a prisoner by being enchained to a Roman soldier. Therefore, he had opportunity to move about. And he has opportunity to meet with fellow friends. So he's a different prisoner altogether. He was prisoner for his faith. Right. Now what we want to look at is the little story that is before us tells us that while he was seeking to go about to imprison those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring them and punish them, to kill them, to beat them up, and so on. As he was on his journey, on his mission, he heard a voice from above. A great light appeared before him, and he heard the voice from heaven, and then he responded to the voice because he knew exactly who the speaker was. And he responded, and then he was told that he has a plan and a purpose by God to achieve and accomplish. Now we're going to look at this passage with a few words so that we can remember. First, we're going to talk about his conversation. See, verse 1 and 2, there is this conversation. I'll tell you why, because I'm going to give you another two testimonies in which this passage has affected the life of these two men. Okay, first is the conversation. Then secondly, we're going to look at his credential. Verses 3 onwards, 3 to 5. Verses 1 and 2 is his conversation. Then verses 3 to 5 is his credential. And then verses 6 to 10 is his conversion. And then, if you move on further, which we have not read, verses 11 to 13 will be his cure. He was blind by that great light that came upon, and subsequently he was cured. Then verses 14 to 16, you'll find his call as a chosen vessel to serve God in leading others to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, with that outline, most probably you can study it yourself. So let me start with the conversation. Now the first thing I want us to notice is his address. Now, Saul wasn't a kind of a man who would respect another. He thought he was the best man around. There is nobody else better than himself. And this is recorded for us in Acts. He was the best rabbi. He gave his testimony in another one time in a Philippian, and he says, look, I'm the best of the kind. In Philippians chapter 3, you read that. And so you see, it is not his character, it is not his lifestyle that he would speak in this manner. But now, under the control and constraining power of the Holy Spirit, here he is speaking on behalf of his Savior and Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is how he commands his conversation. He says, men, brethren, and father. What a pleasing word. You see, a man of religious activity now entered into reality. And in reality, he began to respect others. Dear friends and beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is unique. The transformation that comes when the Lord Jesus Christ comes into your life is an excellent translation. There is no other way where a man can be transformed than just like this. When the Holy Spirit comes upon your life because you have repented to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, your conversation changes. Look at the conversation of the people here. My brother, Gordon Kwan, and his wife and me, we were in Australia one day. And we were driving, and we were driving behind a car, or rather, we were driving past. And there's a car behind, which because of we were new to the place, and we didn't know how to go about, that particular car was slow behind us. And he lost his patience, because Brother Gordon was trying to turn here and turn there, because firstly, we didn't know the place. And so we drove slowly. And the car behind us, after a while, passed. And I can tell you, I've never heard women speaking with words like that. Their conversation would make you not only to close your ears, if possible, not to be there. When an unconverted heart engaged in conversation and that is speared up by emotion, it will bring about words that are never pleasing. Isn't it? Pardon me for saying this. I was at one of your shopping centers in Vancouver. I took some time to pay the amount because I didn't know all your coins. They are in different colors. The big one seems to be a lower value. Pardon me for that. This lady who was administrating the cashier, is this a word that I would not like to, because you only use that word when you go to toilet. You see? And I told her, is that a loving word? And she turned around and went, what? And of course she was about to go on the length. I moved away without buying the thing that I wanted to buy. So you see, an unconverted heart, when stirred with emotion of dislike, will shoot out words that are never pleasing. But when the transformation of God comes upon your life, your conversation changes. Brethren, you see, you remember this word I want to tell you, those who are believers, I'm sure you have heard. You remember when the Lord, when God appeared before Cain, and he asked Cain, Cain, where is your brother? And what did he answer?
Am I my brother's keeper?
You see that? That's what exactly is. But here we have that marvelous transformation exhibited in the conversation. It says, brethren and father, hear my defense. I have somewhat something to bring before you so that not only you will know that there was nothing wrong in me, but you will come to know what has happened to me that has changed my life from a nasty rabbi into a nice believer. See that now? Okay, so that's the conversation. The next thing is, his conversation was coupled with seasoning words. He says, of course we heard him spoke in Hebrew or Aramaic at that point of time, the language. A language they understood. You see, he's speaking to a rowdy crowd. That's why I say he was defending himself before a mob. He was speaking to a rowdy crowd, a crowd that was jeering against him. They were shouting at him. They were blaspheming against him and his God. But as he spoke to them in their language, he quietened. The crowd was constrained. Dear beloveds and dear friends, what can really constrain the heart of man? The Spirit of God. When our conversation is engaged by the power of the Holy Spirit, man will come under the constraining power of God. See that now? Dear friends and beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, unless and until we are converted, we can never have the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. We can never have God. We can never know him. We can never worship him. We can never do his work. And therefore, all we need to do is turn around, repent, have a change of mind from my way to the way of God in Christ Jesus. And then receive him. Personally receive him. I wish I could receive him for you. Unfortunately, I can't. But you receive him. When you receive him, what happens? A change takes place. A transformation comes into your life. And your conversation changes. Your conduct changes. You have a changed life. From a life that is lost and undone in sin and death and degradation and judgment to come with the anger of God awaits on you, to a new life. A life that empowers you not only to live here pleasing to God, in fellowship with God, but also a life that would lead you peacefully into the presence of God forevermore. See that now? Yes, so that's where it begins. The conversation of the Apostle Paul was changed. Now I want to tell you about these two men. The first one is Mahmud. And the second one is Yusuf. Both are now in prison. They are in prison because they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they went about preaching, some people put a lot of accusation against them, and they were put in prison in Indonesia. Let me tell you about Mahmud first. Mahmud was a religious man before he came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. As a religious man, he was respected in that area where he lived. That was the place where he was also born. And therefore, the people in that area, in that particular village, knew him so intimately and knew him to be good man. And knew him to be a helpful man. And knew him to be a man of great respect. Therefore he commands and demands respect from his fellow man. But one day, when he heard this, the transforming power of God that is able to change the conversation from a dead conversation, from a weak conversation, from a conversation that will draw your life down and cause you miseries, to a conversation that will uplift you. A conversation that has power, powered by God. He became very serious. He was arguing with me for about a couple of months until he came to this point to recognize that God brings about transformation from the inside that can come out through your mouth, through your thoughts, through your lifestyle. He repented and received the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. Now, such a respectable man among his peers suddenly became their enemy. You know why? He told me this. Mahmud, what has happened to you? He says, Brother Lingam, I have come into the light of this world. I have come into life, the life that comes from God in Christ Jesus. I have come into love, a love that will never let me go. And therefore, the people hate me. You see that now? I wonder if this has been your experience. Are you hating someone because he is a believer? Are you rejecting someone because he is a believer? Are you rejecting the grace of God, the love of God, which is to come to you through Christ Jesus? Are you still in your darkness of sin? Your conversation needs to be changed, and it can come
through the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Yusuf, in another village, some 300 kilometers away from this particular village in Banda, he was a bad man. And therefore, the villagers feared him. He was a notorious man. He would do anything to anyone if they go against him. And so, the people feared him and would come to offer what he wants. And what he wants is their money. Now, of course, people in Indonesia don't have so much money to offer, so they offer him with kinds, with rice, with chicken, with vegetables, with oil. And so he was living lavishly with all these things. And he was a jolly good fellow. When I met him, he told me, look, I don't need God. In fact, I am the God of this village. Look at his conversation. He says, I am the God of this village. For about a year I've been visiting, and every time when I visit this place, I would visit his home. And most of the time when I visit his home, he is sleeping. And so I'd wait until he wakes up. And then one day when we were reading the same passage here, he recognized the transformation that came to this man called Saul, who subsequently in Christ Jesus became Paul. And he discovered, although this man had all the credential that man would admire, that did not help him to know God. All his good work did not help him to know God. And so, Yusuf, one day repent and receive Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. The village which were so fearful of him now turn around to dislike him. He moved away, far away to another village. And there they frame him up as an intruder to the freedom of that society. And so he was put in prison. I met him in prison because in Indonesia you are given bills. You can come out and wait until this case goes on. This case may go on for 20 years or 30 years. We may not know because the court doesn't come into session. The judges will not take the case. No lawyers would want to defend because you don't have enough money. You have to pay a big sum to get these things done. To move the office and the court and the people, you need to pay. And you need to pay an exorbitant price. If not, it will not move. The file that has been put on will be there. And in the prison, you are ill-treated. Basic needs are given. Minimum basic needs are met. Otherwise, you'll be in a terrible place. Now, look at this credential of this man Paul, who was then Saul. I am a very man who is of the Jew. As to his race, he was a Jew. In fact, he was the best of the Jew. He's from the tribe of Benjamin. As to his race, he was the best man. Now, as to his residence, he was in Tarsus, a city dweller. You like to be in a city?
I think so. Because more and more people are moving into cities, isn't it? And some of us say, oh, I don't like the cities. That's why we are in an island, just like me. Well, the island is soon becoming a city. I was expecting a lot of farms here, but I didn't see as many as I would have desired to see. They are becoming far few. And I was told most of them are being changed from the hands of those who have farmed here into the hands of the East Indians. So what is it happening here? It's becoming a city. You are in Tarsus. As to his resources, he was at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was the walking dictionary or the university of the honored class at that time in Tarsus. He was the professor. And Saul was under his feet learning. Now, this is a wonderful university. I hope there are many more universities like this. Because why? The tutor will take you on his side and teach you. It's a personal coaching. Therefore, mistakes are far and few. That's why he says, I've been perfect as to the laws of my fathers, the religious law. Of course, as to his practice, he was a rabbi. And then, as to his record, he was zealous towards God. And then, not only that, to exhibit his zealousness towards God, he persecuted the believers, the Christians. What a credential. You like to have that? Masud and Yusuf look at this credential and he says, look, there are some things that I admire and I like to, but there's something that I would not want to have. But these both qualities was in this one man. And what happened to all this? He says, I count it but all lost. He relinquished all the credential that he would glory before man, that he would boast of. He relinquished all that to know the power of his resurrection. Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to seek and save you and me, to express love of God for you and me. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to go to that cross, there to bear your sin and my sin away. He who knew no sin was made sin, and God himself took the judgment upon his own son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on your behalf and my behalf on that cruel cross. He put our sins upon him, and he endured the same. He endured the suffering of sin. He endured the sorrows that comes from sin and separation. He endured it for you and for me. On the cross, he pleaded. You know what he said on that cross? This is the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ on that cross. The living Savior, the God who became man for our sake, on that cross, handling our sins, being punished for our sins. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He remembered you. He remembered me. You may have rejected him. You may have received him. But before you reject him, before you receive him, he remembered you. And in your rejection, he remembers you. And in your remembrance, he remembers you. See that now? He remembers us even before we were born. Because he was given the task even before the foundation
of the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ remembered you. He pleaded for you and me on that cross. And then on the cross, he paid the price. What's the price for sin? The Bible says, the price for sin is death. Eternal separation from God. And there on that cross, he paid the price. The price is his life blood. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Which simply means, there is no payment that can ever be made for a sin except the payment of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of this world. He paid the price. He endured the suffering, he endured the shame, he endured the sorrow, and there paid the price. He pleaded for you, he bled for you, and then he died. The wages of sin is death. He died on your behalf, my behalf. He died to take away sin. He died so that our sins will never be remembered anymore. He died to conquer death, which is the last enemy because of our sin. He died to conquer the separation that you and I have with God because of our sin. Masud and Yusuf remembered this. They realized this. They recognized this. And they received it as their personal Savior and Lord, because Lord Jesus Christ removed their sin and restored them back to God. See, through death, the separation was taken off. Now we have an open door. Right. You know what happened? While he was on that cross, there as he paid the price, something happened. And there was an earthquake. And in the earthquake, the temple in which the screen was, the curtain, was closed to the Holy of Holies, poured from the top to the bottom. And the Holy of Holies was open. The heart of God was opened through the Lord Jesus Christ. The separation is now removed so that you can be brought into the entrance with God in fellowship. And this is how Saul came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember, we read already just now that a great light. What was this great light? This is the personal appearance of the resurrected, glorified, ascended Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord. That's the light. There is no greater light than this light. The light that came into this world, the Bible tells me, is the light of the world in John's Gospel, chapter 8. And he came to light up a man. And this is the very light. The personal appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, the glorified Savior, the ascended Lord, attracted his heart, transformed his life, empowered him for the task to live on as a prisoner for Christ. Now, I want you to notice this. In the conversion of Paul, not only he had a personal appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, he had a passionate voice calling unto him. Dear friends, beloved in the Lord, never ever forget this. There is a passionate voice that calls on us. Especially those who have not yet believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a passionate voice that is calling unto you right in your heart. Your head may reject it. Your mind may say no. Your emotions and your thinking and your fanciful ways may reject it. But there is a still small voice right in your heart, because you have sinned against God. God in his love and mercy through the Lord Jesus Christ brings about a passionate voice into your heart.
That's what we call conviction. You are ever convicted because that's the work of the Holy Spirit here now until the Lord Jesus comes again. When that happens, that work of conviction will be removed. You see that now? Masood and Yusuf were convicted just like you even today now here. Convicted by the Holy Spirit of God. A passionate voice. What did the voice say? Saul, Saul, why persecute thou? Why are you engaged against me? Why are you stop refusing to have me enter your life? Why are you doing things that are against me? Why are you engaging your life as a criminal because you reject the grace of God? You reject the goodness of God. You reject the glory of God. Why? You know, many people silently do that. Because these things work in your heart, responds through your mind. And sometimes it comes out through your mouth. The passionate voice is calling on you. Now in his conversion, not only he heard personal appearance, not only he saw the personal appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, he heard the personal voice of the Lord Jesus. Now in his conversion, he had a private audience with God in Christ Jesus. Are you looking for that? I wonder if there is a single soul here this afternoon looking for that. A personal audience, an encounter with God. Are you looking for that? The Lord who promised to be with us here, who is here just now, he is going to become real into your life. If you're there ready to say, not my way anymore, God's way. He wants to give you his personal encounter and personal audience with God. Would you want to have a personal audience with God? What time should I stop? About time. I think I've brought before you in the way the Lord has enabled me to bring. I will right stop here. We're going to pray. Let's bow our heads together and bow in the presence of the Lord. And think of what God can do in your life. And why you need God. Just like Masood, Mahmud, Yusuf, and Saul of Tarsus. God wants to give you a personal audience. And therefore he says, if any man receive me, see that now? If any man receive me, not receive his ways only, not receive his will only, but receive him. If any man would receive him, the power of God. If any man will receive the person of God. If any man will receive the presence of God. Then what happened? If any man receive him, he shall be calm. The child of God. That's the authority. That's the power that God puts on the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we pray, I want you to consider this. As Mahmud was converted, as Yusuf was converted, though in prison today, They rejoice over their conversion. They know the presence of God in their real way. They often preach the gospel in the prison. And therefore, the officers in the prison told me, don't worry, we are having difficulty in having these two men in this prison. They are causing a lot of problem. They don't fight. They don't scold. They don't do anything that is where we can point a finger and put them in charge. But they speak in love of God to us. And we don't like that. Shall we pray? Father, we thank Thee for this time together. We thank Thee that we have been in Thy presence. We thank Thee for Thy word. We know Thy word will not return to Thee empty. It will accomplish and prosper that which Thou hast purpose and will unto us. Thy word is able to make us wise unto salvation. If there should be anyone here this afternoon, Lord, Thou be merciful unto them. And grant them to know Thee. Give them, O Lord, that personal audience so that their hearts may be won by Thy love, Thy goodness, Thy grace, and that they may turn to Thy glory. We command them to Thee. And for those who are here, those who have already known Thee, Lord, this message may be able to encourage their heart and strengthen their faith so that they may walk with Thee, knowing that they are set free in the Lord Jesus Christ to sanctify Him in their lives. We commend them to Thee with praise and with thanksgiving. In the blessed name of Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.